In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Thank God we have the Republican Convention and the Democratic Convention, they're over. Thank God. But I want to tell you, my friends, this election in 60 days from today, will probably be the most important election of your life. I want to say that the Democrats are pro-abortion until the last minute of a child's life in the womb. I want you to hear that the Democrats, when they were quoting their philosophy, omitted God and omitted Jerusalem. Oh yes, later on they put it back. That's right. They did put it back. But I'm telling you, they put it back because there was such a stink. But if you were listening to the cheers, you know, do they want God and Jerusalem back? I'm going to tell you, it was not 2/3 vote that won God and Jerusalem being back in their campaign, in their philosophy. It was not 2/3 vote. I tell you, the Democrats are progressives and atheistic. Only God knows how many people at that conference were against God. Against, you know, when you're against God, imagine having a country that is against God. And that's exactly where our country is going. Our country is going against God. Mr. Obama says we are not a Christian nation. Hello? Hello? We are not a Christian nation. We were founded on the principles of Jesus Christ. We were founded on the principles of the Lord, Christopher Columbus, and our early church, our fathers in our fathers who gave us this country, you know, Washington and so on, were people of faith in Jesus Christ and in the power of his cross and in the power of his resurrection. We could only be free because that is the gift that God gives. Freedom comes from God. Let me also say to you, our freedoms are being taken away from us. Now, there's no one who hates smoking more than I do. I've never even tried smoking. I cannot stand the smell of smoke. But now, as people are going back to college, smoking is prohibited even on the grounds in many colleges. They're taking away all our liberty. I don't like smoking, but I don't have the right to say you can't smoke on my grounds. I have the right to say you can't smoke in my house, but the grounds, there's plenty of air around. There are trees around. I'm telling you, they are taking our freedoms away one at a time, and this country is not the country I was born into. I tell you, Mr. Obama is someone that we need to pray for. Mr. Obama is someone that we need to pray for, and his philosophy is anti-life, and anti-woman. If they knew anything about abortion, they would know it's anti-woman. A woman was made by God, yes, to have children. That is a primary role of the woman, and to nurture that child, not to kill that child. Let me tell you that the Democrats are anti-woman and anti-life. And to the last moment, even to the last moment, I'm not telling you that I'm 100% for Romney, but at least I am at least 65% for Romney, 75% for Romney. And I will vote for what I have to vote for, but I will not vote for people that are against life. I will not vote for people who will take life in the womb until the last moment. I've told you before that when Mr. Obama was a senator, he was the only senator that voted that if a child was born through a botched abortion, that that child should not be cared for. It should be left to die. This is infanticide. This is infanticide. And this is the philosophy of Mr. Obama. This is the philosophy of the not of all the Democrats, but at least of Mr. Obama, who is president. Mr. Obama says, give me another chance and we'll see what I can do. I'm going to tell you, he said himself, if he couldn't fix it in 3 years, it would be a one-term proposition. I don't hate Mr. Obama. I don't hate him at all. We are called to pray for him. But I am telling you, we are in great difficulty. Because in reality, if we give up God and we give up Jerusalem, we are in deep trouble. The Lord is still the Lord, and he still cares for this country. I don't know why, because we've turned our back on him like never before. We've turned our back on him like never before, but he is still for this country, and we must vote not for people that are anti-life and anti-woman and anti-Jerusalem. Okay, they changed it, but they changed it because they had to. They changed it because they had to. So let me tell you, in 60 days, you will be called to vote, and you must vote. Please, you must vote. It is so important and urgent that you vote. It is so important and urgent that you vote. And I cannot vote for someone who is anti-life. I cannot vote for someone who is pro-abortion for the last, till the last minute. I cannot vote for that. And that's my word right now. Mr. Obama is someone that we put in, we gave him a chance, and you know what? He proved that he couldn't do the job. He proved that he couldn't do the job. And you know, when someone cannot do the job, you know what? You've got to get someone else to do the job. Because this country is in the scales of God, on God's scales. And I'm telling you why. Because we have killed millions and millions of children. We have defamed women. We have hurt women. And we don't even think about it. Like today, as I speak to you, there'll be 30 people, 30 women probably going into Planned Parenthood to kill their children. That's in Boston alone. Only God knows how many throughout the world will go today to kill their children. Oh, dear Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us because we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We thank you, God. The scripture says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem that she would prosper. We pray in the name of Jesus for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that God might be always, always in the forefront of our nation, not only on our coins in God We Trust, but in the people who are running, trusting in God, trusting in His favor, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that God would give that place peace, peace, peace through the blood of the Lamb. Shalom, shalom, shalom. I'm looking at the key passage of the third chapter of Luke and the 21st verse. I've read this before, and I have something that I have to talk about today. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, he's praying. In Luke's gospel, when Jesus is being baptized, he's praying. On the Mount of Transfiguration, in Luke's gospel, Jesus is praying, and there appears Moses and Elijah. The heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Jesus. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. This is so important because this is the identity of Jesus. The identity of Jesus is that he is the very Son of the living God. His identity is the most important thing. Let me tell you, your identity in Christ is the most important thing. That you are a son, you are a daughter in the Beloved, in Jesus. Our identity is the most important thing that we have. Who are you? I am Father Tom. I am Tom. I am the Son of the Father in Christ. I am the child of God in Christ. That is who I am. Who I am will show me what I can do. I was just listening to me on WEZE. I'm on at 11:15 on 590 on the AM dial in Boston. I was just listening. I was talking about Jesus saying, all power on heaven and earth has been given to him and also now to the church. But you see, that power is most important when we know who we are. I do not want to use power from any other vantage point other than who I am. Identity first. I am a son of God. I am a son of the Father in Jesus Christ, the very Son of the living God. Who I am is son. Who you are is child of God, son, daughter. And from that flows, you shall do greater things than I. You shall do the same things as I. All power and on heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Who we are, our identity is first. Identity first. Jesus, after he leaves the Jordan River, you know, he goes into the synagogue at Nazareth, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He knew who he was, Son of God. He was speaking as Son of God. And then the first thing he does is that he goes into the synagogue at Capernaum, and who he is Son of God, and he casts out the demon. His identity as Son of God is how he casts out the demon. As Son of God, he's the eternal Son of God. From all eternity, Jesus is the Son of God. What we do is important, but who we are is more important. Sons and daughters of God in the Beloved. Sons and daughters of God in the Beloved. Identity first. Identity first. Identity first. When the miraculous catch of the fish with Peter and James and John, when that happens, it happens because Jesus knows who he is. He is the Son of the Father. He is the Son of the Father. I am comes before I do. I am the Son of the Father in Jesus comes before I will do greater things than the Lord. Because he promised, because he goes to the Father. Who we are is the most important thing that we have. Who we are in Christ, through him, with him, and in him. Yes, in Christ, who we are is the most important thing. Jesus knew who he was, and he knew who he was. The Spirit of God alighted on him. Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And I want to tell you, in Christ, you are the beloved child of the Father. I'm looking at the fifth chapter of St. Luke, the 12th verse. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought Jesus, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, leprosy was that there was some kind of rash upon somebody's body, and if they had this, they were cut off from the community. They had to wear a bell and let people know that they were coming. This man is a man that is desperate. He sees Jesus and he says, if you will, you can heal me. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Jesus isn't afraid of the leprosy, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from the man. I will. But Jesus heals this man because he is the Son of God. The lady came to me a couple of weeks ago and we prayed for her that her cancer would be healed. And she was healed 75%. The tumors went down 75%. That's not that I can do these things, but because I am a son in Jesus Christ, I'm a son of the Father in the Son. These things happen because I am who I am. I'm not God, that's for sure. But I am a son. Jesus is the Son. The most important thing is that you know who you are. You know who you are, because if you don't know who you are, you're going to get pushed around. If you don't know who you are, you're going to get pushed around. The devil's going to intimidate you. People are going to intimidate you. Who are you? You have been bought with the price. You've been bought with the blood of Jesus. Jesus went to the cross for you. You are God's own. You belong to Him. He loves you. He is in love with you. You are His daughter. You're the Father's daughter. You're the Father's son in Christ. Who you are is the most important thing that we have. Who you are is the most important thing that we have. Identity comes first, that I am a son of God. Even when I was sick and I couldn't preach, that didn't change God's opinion of me. I was still a son of God. I'm not a son of God because I do these things. I'm a son of God because Jesus Christ bled for me, because Jesus Christ gave His life for me, because Jesus Christ became a curse so that I could become the righteousness of God. I am a son of God, and the Holy Spirit attests to that, that we call God Abba Father. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to call God Abba, Father. We are the children of God now. What we shall later be has not yet come to light, but we know when it comes to light, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Who are you today? You are a son of the Father. You are a daughter of God. You belong to the Father, and in Christ you are that beloved daughter, that beloved son. And from that power issues forth. You shall do greater things than I, because I go to the Father. Why? Because He goes to the Father, and I am a son of God. I am a son. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. That's why you shall do greater things than I. And Jesus heals this leper because He knows who He is. He is the Son of the Father. He's the eternal Son of the Father. You know, this is very important, because the guy says, if you want, you can make me whole. You can clean me up. You can make me clean. Jesus touches the man, says, I will. I want you to be clean. Be clean in the name of Jesus. You know, people say, you know, does God want my healing? I'm telling you, go to the best doctors, but also know that God wants you healed. He wants to heal you from the inside out. He wants you to know who you are, who you are. You are the Son of the Father. Don't be pushed around. You are the Son of God. You are the daughter of God. Do not be pushed around by anybody. If people knew who you were, if you knew who you were, you would not become a rug that people step on you. You see, God wants us to be servants and even slaves of Jesus, but He doesn't want us to be rugs that people step on us, because that's not what a Christian is. A Christian is not a person that is a rug that everybody can wipe their feet on. I'm very sorry. That's not what we are. We are the children of God. What we shall later be has not yet come to light, but we know when it comes to light, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Imagine, we shall be like Jesus, because we shall see Him as He is. Jesus did all these works of power from the reality of who He is, the Son of the Eternal Father. And He charged the man who had leprosy, who was healed, to tell no man, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing the things that Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much more went there a fame abroad of Him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Jesus of their infirmities. I tell you, it got around that this was Jesus' free clinic. This was the free clinic of Jesus. That's all they needed to do, was to touch Him. They didn't need very much more. They had to touch Him in faith. They had to even touch the tassel of His cloak, and they would be healed if they did it in faith. Oh yes, His name and His reputation spread around, and everybody wanted to touch Jesus. And we're looking now at the fifth chapter of St. Luke, and we're looking at the 16th verse. And Jesus withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed. This is the secret of Jesus. He not only is the Son of the Father, but after all these miracles, all these signs, all these wonders, he goes to seek the face of the Father. He who is the Father's Son goes to seek the face of the Father. He knows who he is. He knows he is completely dependent on the Father. He's completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. He is the Son of God, but he needs to go into the wilderness and pray and be with God. And it came to pass on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by who had come from every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present. There was an unction, an anointing on Jesus to heal people. And behold, men brought in a bed of a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in to lay him beside Jesus. And when they could not find by way that they might bring him in because it was so crowded by a multitude of people, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst of Jesus. And this must be a sight. They're in Peter's house, remember. They're in Capernaum. Across the street from Peter's house is the synagogue of Capernaum. People are now gathering around Peter's house. They hear that Dr. Jesus is around. He's running a free clinic, and he has power to heal. And the power to heal was upon him. He knew who he was. He was the very Son of God. And they get a man who is crippled, and they lower him down. I can just see the four men lowering down this man in front of Jesus. They couldn't get in the house, so they lowered him down. You know, and all the people are saying, "My Lord, they must be desperate." They were desperate. It's so wonderful when you have friends that bring you to Jesus. It's so wonderful if you have friends that bring you to Jesus. If you have friends that don't bring you to Jesus, I'm going to tell you, drop them, because you don't need those kind of friends. I remember once when my father was dying, I was going to visit him in the hospital, and I met this young man across the street. He happened to be Jewish, and we were friends. And I prayed with my father, and we were on the way home. His name was Joel, this young man. And he said, "You know, I can become your friend. And I know you need a friend, but you know what? You can never mention Jesus in my midst." I never saw the guy again. I didn't need a friend that I couldn't mention Jesus. I wasn't going to shove Jesus down his throat either. But don't tell me that I, who am a son of God, am not able to mention the name of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me. I don't need a friend like that. I don't need a friend that gives me stipulations. You know, God doesn't say, "Tom, you're my son, and I give you stipulations." He says, "You're my son, and you're free. And if the Spirit of God sets you free, and if Jesus sets you free, you're free indeed." So this man is placed before Jesus. "My Lord, my Lord." There must have been a great commotion in that house. People saying, "You know, I'm first. And look at this guy comes. Who is he? They're lowering him through the roof. I need healing." And I'm telling you, it wasn't very quiet in Peter's house. You know, if you have people that are sick and Dr. Jesus is in the house, they want to be touched by Dr. Jesus. You know, you can't blame them. And so the man is placed in front of Jesus. So what happens after that? And when Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the man, their faith, because the man had been sick for many years, he said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but only God? Who can forgive sins but only God? Who does he think he is? You know, we know that he's been healing people, but now he's saying, your sins are forgiven you." But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, "Why do you reason this in your heart? Whether it is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Rise up and walk.' But Jesus said, 'That you may know that the Son of Man,'" remember, he's the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of Man, "'has power upon the earth to forgive sins.'
He said unto the sick man with palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up your couch, and go to your house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up his couch and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And everybody was amazed, and they glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Let me tell you, I want to close by telling you, it's so important that you know who you are, that you are a child of God, you are a son of God, that you're not trash. You belong to Christ. He shed his blood for you. He adopted you through the power of the Holy Spirit, because the blood of Jesus was made real through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And this is so important that you know who you are. And from who you are comes what we do. What we do is power. What we do is we do greater things than Jesus. But it all flows from who we are. Son of the Father, daughter of God, who you are. Identity first, Son of God, in the Son who is Jesus Christ. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. We have not yet started to pay our August bills. We are on PayPal. If people feel comfortable to go on PayPal, it's www.inseason.net. www.inseason.net. And you can pay something, a gift on PayPal with a credit card. www.inseason.net. www.inseason.net. And most people send us checks, and you know we need these checks to pay our August bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I need to hear from people in the western part of the state of Massachusetts. I need to hear from people in St. Louis and Arizona. I need to hear from people so that we can continue to do these broadcasts. Just remember, identity first. Don't be pushed around. You're the son of the Father in Jesus Christ. You're the daughter of the Father in Jesus Christ. Don't be pushed around by anyone. If the Son sets you're free indeed. Free indeed. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.